Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This year I speak unto you, he said, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He came that we may have life, and have it more abundantly. Thou great, the good and the chief shepherd, we worship you, Lord, the bishop of our soul. We thank you, Father, we worship you, we glorify thy name, Lord. Every day we bless the Lord, we bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. Father, we thank you again for the fellowship. Thank you for rejoicing together again in thy presence. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, we thank you. As we read your word this morning, we ask that you bless the reading of it, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible tells us that, in the church, God says some as apostles, some as prophets, some as teachers, and all the ministerial gifts, set them up in the church. Now, where in the modern age, they add more to it. You are senior pastor, senior apostle, and that's in the Bible, senior this, senior that, and so on like that, So, in the early church, they take the title out of the thing and just call brother and so on like that, Yeah, there are two prophets, there are two apostles and so on like that, Anyway, my point is that there is a ministry that has no title in the Bible. And yet, I tell you of a truth. It is the greatest ministry of all. Thank God for prophets. Thank God for apostles and so forth. So this morning, the intercessor, not recognized by many, the highest ministry in the church is the ministry of the intercession. That is the highest ministry in the church, really. It's unannounced in the Bible, it's quiet, and those who are involved in it are not even known, really, you know yourself, but it's not advertised, rather, it is the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is now engaged in. Scripture, Hebrews, I give you two. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As you are sitting here, the Lord is making intercession for you. Amen? I don't care what you are going through, what I'm going through. You can just open your heart and let nobody start it for you and I. Another scripture is in Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? As a child of God, there is no more condemnation for you and I, amen. There is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So who is that condemneth then? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So that is, he's involved in that and so forth. So, and he encourages, I encourage every Christian, to join the Lord Jesus in that intercession. You may not be known, but you will even feel it on this earth, and there are blessings untold. Let's just look at that ministry here this morning in a nutshell. There is always a blessing. There is divine protection for the intercessor, as I'm going to see, and blessing here, and the blessing hereafter. So today there is need for intercessory prayer. Prevailing prayer is the one means that we change this world for God, really. The prayer of faith is the power that can move mountains of the opposition of the opposer, meaning the devil. It is the force that can break the grip of the path of darkness oppressing millions in our land today and all over the world. Satan is the oppressor. The Lord Jesus is the deliverer. Amen. You asked me a question in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So we know that Satan is the oppressor, Christ is the deliverer. And he has given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise to the Lord Jesus. You mean something to God, you mean a lot to the Lord Jesus Christ. Intercessory prayer is the means that can share spare this nation and the nation for the horrors of atomic war. I can begin to name a host of things, like the sword of Dagon. You see, this sort of atomic thing is hanging over the world today. Only he that let it, we let, and so on like that, you know. So let us take the days for granted. Let us do what God says to do to continue to enjoy the peace of God that he has given to you and I in this world. So Christians of the past, they hold this nation together and so on. It's your time and my time now to hold this nation and whichever nation you live in, you know, in prayer and intercession, that we continue to enjoy the peace that God has given unto us. So I thank God, anybody, any Christian can participate in this ministry of the intercession. You know, if you're already in it, then you are encouraged today to continue. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. If you're not into it, then you are invited. That is the ministry where anybody, any Christian can participate in this ministry. You can be in it, anybody at all, any Christian at all, you know. Anyway, determined prayer by faithful prayer warriors can make possible the successful gospel invasion of the foreign faith. Forget about whether it is North Korea and so forth, or Russia, or whatever it is. You know, the word of God is not banned. By continued praying and so far intercession, you see, those doors will be opened, because the Lord Jesus said one thing. He said this gospel that is in 24th Matthew 14, verse, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nation or all the world for a witness to them. They will not all receive it anyway, but shall be preached. So who are you, North Korea, to Lord the Lord against the gospel, or Russia? I mean, God will break your band as saints of God begin to pray and intercede. An intercessor is one who pleads the case of another. And if we all stand in the gap on behalf of our nation or even our relatives, God has promised that his angel has a special mark of protection on you and I. When you do, the Bible tells us that it is a special protection for the intercessor. You see, where is it in Scripture? Ezekiel 9:3. Let me show you. God showed Ezekiel a vision, whatever it is, and so on, Ezekiel chapter 9. And he showed six men. They are heavenly beings. I will call them. John, he called them men. He called them, they appear as, you know, as men at times. You know, there are five of them separate. One of them, I mean, have a separate dressing, a liner, and so upon him, and so on like that, you know. So let me go to verse 3 of Ezekiel 9. And the glory of the God of Israel, talking of divine protection for the intercessor. That will even invite anybody at all, you know, to come into this ministry. No, anyway. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen. That is one of the six, right? No. The other ones, they all have weapons of destruction in their hands because of the iniquity of the land. And so you can read those chapter for yourself. Anyway, the man clothed with linen, which had a writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. See the income writer and so on, that you know. Set a mark of protection upon those who are signed. When you see the iniquity of this generation, of this nation, supposed to be upon God and so on, you can't even hardly stomach anymore and so on, that I'm going to cry to the Lord. And to the others, he said, the other five of them, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes fear, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Look at my sanctuary. New Testament says judgment must begin the very house of God itself. Amen. Praise the Lord. The abomination has been done. So-called sanctuary of God today. Say, I begin my sanctuary. He has never changed the way of doing things and so on. Unless this generation repent, and even the so-called church people and some of that, you know, and turn to the living God. Anyway, the point is this, their divine protection for the intercessor and so on. And God doesn't change his way of doing things, really, and some of that, you know. When intercessors stood in the gap, but men do not repent, God's judgment becomes inevitable, like we see in this case and so on. There were intercessors in here, but they will not repent. So God's judgment fails. And God hasn't changed his pattern here, you know. Before God poured out his indignation and his fury upon Judah, he spoke by the same prophet Ezekiel, saying in Ezekiel 22 verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, said the Lord God." So we see that there is another situation where that is the case. God, there are intercessors, right, who are crying there and that and so on, but they won't repent. Judgment fell. At other times, God can't even find a single word to intercede. Equally, judgment fell as far as that, you know. And let us be clear about this. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. So we know that. He told us by the same prophet Ezekiel 33 verse 11. God has no pleasure whatsoever in the death of him that died. Let me read that one to you. So it's a God of justice. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. "Say unto them, as I live, said the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways," telling the unbeliever and so on, of this age also. "For why will ye that, O house of Israel?" What appeared to Israel that time appeared to the masses of today and so on. God calling for repentance and so on. Just to tell you the mind of God. It's only that he has to do what he has to do. Otherwise, anyway, at the end, they will self-destroy themselves anyway. So that what will happen as well as that, you know. If we stand in the gap and make off the edge before him, God may withhold his judgment. The intercessor is not only divinely protected, as we see in Ezekiel chapter 9, you know, but we'll be able to look back in the days to come, at the end of the years, and have the, you know, and be sat, you know, have a certain knowledge that your life has been a successful one as an intercessor. Men will not know you. You see that, don't worry about it. The Lord taught us in the prayer, you know, the mass and so on, that you know, when you pray, enter to your closet, shut your door before you and so on, and call upon your Father with his secret. Your Father who is in his secret will reward you openly. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't see the honor that come from man. Bible says, how can they believe when they see the honor that come from man? See the honor that come from God alone. Praise the Lord Jesus. So that's what we should be doing anyway. I'm just encouraging all this time. We are living in dangerous time. A time like never before. Bible says it will come to a time, any time from now. No, Bible says a time of tribulation. Now, so great is it that has never been since the world began. And when it is over, never a time like that and so on, that, you know. But before then, I want to gather in, you know, his wish into the Ghana. And he has involved all of us. And one way we can all participate, not because we are an evangelist or a prophet and so on like that, you know, but this one you can all participate in it and so on like that, you know. Anyway, and now, when God showed Jeremiah that the doom of his generation had been sealed, he said that even Moses and Samuel interceding for them could not save them from the impending judgment of the Babylonian captivity. That is in Jeremiah 15:1. Let me read that. And then I will talk about these two intercessors to encourage us and some of that, you know, because God talked about them, right? Jeremiah 15:1. "Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward these people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." A time will come in this age when he that letteth won't let anymore. You see? Then we usher in the man of sin. You know, the master deceiver. And so Bible says he deceived the whole world. They call the love, not the love of the truth. God will give us a reprobate mind. Now the Bible says, in this age we are living right now, the time is closing now. The ark door is closing fast, whereby no man can enter again and some of that, you know. So that is the hour of the intercessor that we are living right now. The hour of the intercessor. So you see now, he told them that, you know, see Moses and Samuel. Not only that, Samuel with Moses and Aaron are also spoken of in the psalm as men of God noted for receiving answer to their prayer or petition. That is in Psalm 99 verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They call upon the Lord and he answered them. Since we have two witnesses concerning these men, meaning Moses and Samuel, I thought it's good to just look at a little bit of their intercessory ministry. And what you can learn from there to encourage us, boost our faith. If you're already in it, continue. If you haven't been in it yet, put all you got into it and so for the last, you know. So this scripture text shows that Moses and Samuel were some of the most successful of the Old Testament intercessors. That's what I was thinking about it. Now, the prayer ministry of Moses is a most instructive one to anybody who is interested in this ministry of intercession and so on. Being one of the outstanding types of Christ, he was one of the most outstanding types of Christ, Moses was. Moses impressively typifies the intercessory ministry of Christ. You see that, you know, like we say, he types Christ in so many things. And we began this morning by telling us how the Lord even now is interceding for us. So Moses was a type, even you know, of the Lord in that area. Moses reached his greatest stature in his intercession that resulted in the sparing of the life of 2 million people, you know, coming out of Egypt and so on, that, you know, one man standing before God and so forth, you know, spared the life of 2 million people. While Moses had been on the mount with God, what happened to the children of Israel? They committed a great sin of turning from God to worship the golden calf, we are told. So Exodus 32 verse 9, a couple of verses here, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Isn't that what Stephen called them in Acts 7? And they got mad at him. And he became the fourth matter of his church. For the stiff-necked people, he called them. He called them what God called them, right? And they were mad. Now, therefore, let me alone, the Lord said, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. What a wonderful offer. Just destroy this world, and I, Moses, now, God will now make a great nation out of me. Not Moses, meek. I mean, a meek man. I mean, maybe only Christ was more meek than me, I guess, and some of that, you know. And Moses besought the Lord. Here we go. It's God. And said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? For you and I today, doesn't matter how they look like. They may be in the streets. They may be harlots, they may be running all kind of things, you know, all kind of things and so on. That, you know, this is time to really intercede and preach to them. Judgment will come later, but for now, is to have compassion and to intercede for the masses and so on. That, you know. And God had Moses anyway. He had the prayer of Moses and spared the children of Israel. So, it is interesting to note that as a result of this unique intercessory prayer, God rewarded Moses. Along the way, you can see how God even begins to reward the intercessors. We show it in Ezekiel chapter 9, right? How divine protection was upon the intercessor. Even right here, he begins to bless Moses. Let me show you how he did it, as well as you know. Many people have seen God in the vision, as well as that, you know. But as he was interceding, Moses got so confident in God and bold in God that you and I should be today. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, right? If no, I'm not, you know. And then he said, Lord, show me your glory. That's how bold is God. As an intercessor, you can begin to get bold. That Bible invited you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace and so on. Show me thy glory and so forth. And God did not disappoint him. So, and then of course, and then God said, okay, I'll go to hide with the cleft of a rock, yeah? I will pass by, and you can see the back part of me. I don't tell any man that God has ever shown that, you know, instead of that Moses is intercessor and so on. So he got a reward right there for interceding and so on, of the reward that he got. People are seeing God in visions and so on, but he got bold by interceding and God answer, his prayer and put him in the cleft of a rock. And when the Lord passed by, the prophet could behold God's majesty, the back part of God. What a wonderful blessing is that? That is in all in Exodus 33. If you want to go there later, you all know that scripture maybe. Anyway, so it was, I won't read it that tonight, just right there. As you thought of Exodus 21 to 22 verses and so on, as you know. One of these days, I thank God for Moses, the Bible says that he was so coming out of that mountain and so forth, 40 days and 40 nights and so on, his face so shine that the chain of Israel couldn't even behold Moses' face. He had to put a veil upon his face. He was shining with glory and so on, that, you know. Well, thank God for that. The Bible says that it's even that glory which is already done away. How about the glory that we have now that excels and so on, that, you know. So when the Lord comes, we not only see him as he is, we be like he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. What the Bible says, I want to read that to 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the Father has seen in vision and so on. We're going to see him as he is, because we are the children of the living God, we are the sons of God. People are thinking that now are we the sons of God? Let's not any other time, you know, and some of us, you know. Now, you know, he prayed for the nation. He prayed for his relatives. So God ordained it to be so. We can pray for our relatives, and God will deliver them. Now, in this case, for his sister, the problems of Moses included those of his own family. Aaron, his own very brother, and Miriam, his sister, a prophetess for that matter. See, God seriously out of order on one occasion. They challenged the position of authority in which God had given Moses, saying in Numbers 12:2, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? I'm a prophetess and that, you know. And the Lord had in the Bible says, you know, and Moses was, like I said, the most meek man outside of Christ was Moses. It would have grieved him so much to witness this spirit of dissension and insubordination developing among his own kin. However, being a humble, a meek man, he held his peace and would have said nothing. See the trait of the intercessor, right? You can learn from Moses. You know, the trait of the intercessor. He was wrong in such a mad way and so on, but was a meek man, an intercessor. Nevertheless, the Lord could not let a situation like this develop or get out of hand, or it might lead to a more serious rebellion in the camp, right? So the judgment of God suddenly was meted out. Numbers 12:10. What was it? And behold, Miriam became leprous. White as snow, the Bible says. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So this quickly ended the presumptuous spirit of Miriam and Aaron. He brought them in abject submission before Moses, begging for mercy, really, you know, if you read the old text in there. Moses, a man quickly touched by the distress of others, no matter what you did to him, he's touched by the distress of other people. What did he do? Even though these people, they brought this judgment upon themselves, he cried in verse 13 of Numbers 12. He cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee, the great intercessor. No matter what you did to him, right? He prayed for the nation, prayed for his own family and so forth. Matter how it was, he was wrong and all that, you know. Very short a prayer, you will say, for a desperate need. Can you imagine a bit of leprosy? About 14 words only, I believe it is, and so maybe 12 words and so on, that, you know. He cried out saying, healer, now, oh God, I beseech thee, and so on, that, you know. And there are two things to learn about this prayer. Number one, very short prayer, right? Moses' prayer, though a short one, speedily brought the answer, we notice. Don't forget, at one time, he spent full 40 days and nights in the mount, interceding for the nation of Israel, right? Before God and some of that, you know, interceding for Israel. 40 days and 40 nights. But here was something different. A simple need for healing, right? So Moses prayed no lengthy prayer this time around, showing us that a long drawn out prayer for healing is not better than a short one. It is not the long prayer that counts, but he says, even in that prayer, he tied the Lord. Go and see all the Lord did in healing in his ministry. The either short prayer, the even command of faith, amen, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or to the ten lepers, go show yourself to the high priest, amen, praise the Lord. To the withered man with withered hand, stretch forth your hand, amen, praise the Lord. In John chapter 5, the man who had been, you know, paralyzed for 38 years, take your bed and go. Nothing like that, you know. So, even in that way, short prayer, which is typical curse and so on, just that short prayer, and at this time was healed. Another thing to learn about that prayer is this. Even though healing was promised, we observe that it was 7 days before Miriam could present herself again before the camp. Time was apparently needed for the uncleanness of leprosy to disappear. Not only that, it is plain that God wanted to give Miriam time to think about her conduct and to resolve never again to commit the same act. So as we say, wait for the camp for 7 days before he can come back and so on. So you say, what lesson is that? So it's a lesson on prayer too, you know. And what lesson are we learning about prayer? When repentance is complete, like Miriam has to do, there is no further need for any more delay. But if there is a need for delay, it is not on God's part. The cause is always with us, God's people, not on God's part at all. Don't we see that there may be delay in the full answer to some prayers? So just reading between lines here and so on, that you know, there may be some delay in the full answer to some prayers. This should not discourage you and I or cause us to stumble, but we should be stronger in faith, certain that God's promise will not fail. Amen. Praise God. I always remember Father Abraham in Romans chapter 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He is called the Father of faith, right? So, what object lesson, you know, in that short prayer that Moses prayed for, you know, his sister and some of that, you know. Let's talk about Samuel. The Bible talks about two of them, right? Say Moses and Samuel, right? Let's look at Samuel. Talk a little bit about this one and so on. The intercessor, Samuel the intercessor. Samuel was a great prophet, but he reached the supreme height of his greatness, not as a prophet, but as an intercessor actually, you know. Drawing attention to what I said before, that intercession is the greatest ministry indeed. Samuel ranked with Moses, like I said before, and Daniel also, as the greatest intercessor of the Old Testament, as well as you know. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, it's where we first see Samuel in his role as a great intercessor. I want to dwell on this a little bit and so on this chapter. Israel has gone through tribulations, and you know why they do that? When they sin, right? That's what happened. And some God of judgment come on them. They would have said, no, have no that. So the Philistines have afflicted them a lot, you know. had met unto them a severe defeat upon the Israelites and so on. And these Philistines did take away the ark of God, take it to the temple of their God, Dagon, that in that chapter as well as you know. And what happened there? In their affliction, Israel entreated now Samuel to help them out of their troubles, you know. Of course, Samuel gave a ready hand, a ready ear to them, but he gave them a very simple instruction. If we want deliverance, he said, 1 Samuel 7:3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines, he said. He didn't just rub his hand upon them. They had to repent first, just like Miriam had to be sent away for 7 days out of the camp, right? You know. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalism and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only, the Bible said. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. In between, the Philistines have warned the children of Israel, if I see any of you gathering together in groups, then you're going to be in trouble again. I'm going to come against you again. You know, it means you are grouping for war again. But that did not stop them. That is faith on the part of Israel. I will commend them for that. Nevertheless, no matter what the Philistines said, they asked, they obeyed Samuel. Verse 16, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and pour it out before the Lord. And fasted on that day, you see. Fasting is the what people call the key to the impossible, right? Yeah. Fasting will open the key to the impossible doors, will open it for you, all about the Bible and so on. They fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned, they confessed their sins against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, the great intercessor, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines, you know. And Samuel took a sucking lamp and offered it for burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. Now watch. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. There are all kinds of prayers. People today, even some ministers, have to pray quietly and so on. There are times when you have to cry out to the Lord, amen? You cry out to the Lord. Who cares? Like the blind Bartimaeus and so forth. You know, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Keep quiet, I'm saying. The more he cries out, amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, what kind of prayer and so on? He cried out to the Lord. Who cares who is around me and so on? Cry to the Lord. You know, and the Lord heard him, the great intercessor Samuel. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. Amen. And they were smitten before Israel. Praise the Lord. As you cry to the Lord and so forth, being the Father and so on, God will do the same thing for you and I. Amen. Praise the thunder will get it thunder, you know, and so that, you know. The Bible says, at one time when he spoke, Bible says in Luke, I believe in John chapter 12 or something like that, you know. It sounds as if it's turned out as all that, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a very present help in trouble, brother and sister. Amen. I will be with him in trouble. Not only be with him, I'll be looking at him. I will deliver him. And I will show him my salvation. Psalm 91. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've never changed his way of doing things. I am the Lord. And change it not. So we see right there. You know, and look at the victory. So the Philistines were subdued, the Bible says, and they came no more into the coast of Israel.
Amen.
And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel, the great intercessor.
Amen.
And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. Bible says so. And from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And look at it. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. The Bible says he will come before you one way. He will flee seven ways. Amen.
Amen.
I have never changed, said the Lord, and the Lord has changed not. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No, so he will restore. I will restore. Hear the Lord. To anything from you and so on, as you cry unto the Lord, I will restore, said the Lord. He will repeat the prayer for your sake. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I will say that. So, I always think about this. The Lord told us to do many things. Because of the devourer, he does it. I will do it myself. Amen. Malachi said it in chapter 3 and so on. In the Lord, we repeat the devourer for your sake.
Amen.
Amen. Opening unto you the windows of heaven. Amen. I will pour you out a blessing that you shall have no room to receive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, not only in the days of Ezekiel is God looking for intercessors, but looking for intercessors today. Amen. So, we are given an example of, let me round up with this one. He's looking for intercessors right now, as we are talking right now. And we are given an example of how God can use intercessors in the 22nd chapter of Job, and I will end with that now. Of course, the case of intercession and so on, you can preach a whole day, a week on this subject and so on. Just pick one and two here. When you talk about Moses and Samuel, I thought I would expand on that. So, there in the 22nd chapter of Job, the Spirit of God stated a condition that must be met before God can use a person to bring deliverance to another. And again, come and look at the blessing that will come upon the intercessor. So, Job 22 verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, like Moses of old, right? Acquaint yourself with the Lord. And be at peace now. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You know, receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth, and lay up his word in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. Then we are told that to live a holy life, right, in so many words. When we meet the conditions, God gives many benefits that you will receive, that I will receive, as catalogued in the remaining verses for 24. What did he say there? Then shalt thou lay up gold as it does. Don't say this is Old Testament scripture. I always remember all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. They are yea and they are amen to the glory of God our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So you claim it is true today and so on that, you know. Then shall thou lay up gold as it does, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver.
Amen.
For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vow. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up.
Amen.
And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it shall be delivered by the pureness of your hand.
Amen.
See? That verse, the last one, in the Amplified Bible version, says this. He will even deliver the one who is not innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he will deliver through the cleanness of your own hands, intercessor, right? Through you and so forth. You know. So of course, it's by the grace of God and by the goodness of God that has to be done. So what Abraham did, I mean, Lot was not innocent, but Abraham was, right? Praise the Lord. See? Abraham was innocent. It was through Abraham's innocency and so forth that Lot got everything that he got. Through Abraham's cleanness of arms and so on, that you know. So through faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we believe God will deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not even innocent at all. So to intercede does not literally mean just offer a petition for someone. Real intercession means that go in the behalf of another to take the place of another, just like Abraham took the place of Lot and so on, that you know. So anyway, so this morning a kind of a exhortation, invitation and so forth. If you're already in it, I mean, the reward cannot even be measured in earthly rewards, you know. And any Christian can participate in this ministry of intercession. We are living in the most dangerous time in the history of the world for our relatives, like Moses did, for the nation we are living in, and for the nation, you know, and the Lord, you know. And one thing we notice about intercessors, they live long. Look at Abraham, look at Moses, at 120 years, the great intercessor, 120 years, his natural force were not abated, his eye did not grow dim, and so forth, that, you know. Look at Daniel, you know, the intercessor and so on, that, you know. At the advanced age, you know, he was still in active service, praise the Lord. See, you can mention them, or even Samuel himself and so on, that, you know. So this morning, at the Bible, see, let me explain this 2 Corinthians 5:18. Look at all the benefits. You can read Job 22 that I read to you. It's for you and I. And 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and he put and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto all the word of reconciliation. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us join the Lord day by day in intercession and so forth, that you know, looking at the great reward both now and hereafter. Your needs shall be more than met. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we deliver others. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They that believe in him ought also to walk as he himself walked. He showed himself even interceding for us, even as we talk right now. Father, we worship and we adore you. And the Bible says the commandments of the Lord, they are not grievous. In the mighty name of Jesus. So therefore, as we go this morning, not our prayer, not just for our family only. Oh, God bless my brother and my sister and my... No, that's good. But we reach on out to the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm making intercession for this dying world. It's a dying world, really. You know, making intercession for them. And we thank you for the innumerable benefits, both here and the hereafter, that will come unto us. We go here as obedient children, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live, Lord, by the grace of God. It won't be like in the days of Judah, when you took Ezekiel, I look for an intercession and found not. May you find it in us, in this last day. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we commit all our needs to your hand this morning in the name of our, that we, in Job 22, Lord, we just claim the promises. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart is the Lord and the fullness thereof. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, all things are yours, all things are mine. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are ours. We are heirs of God. And we are joined here with Christ. Meaning all that God has belonged unto us. We lay claim this morning by faith. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says nothing shall be impossible unto us. Lord, Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. all the requests of our heart this morning as we are sitting here and reading the wonderfulness of God to the intercessor and so on and all these promises. Lord, answer the request of our heart this morning. I don't have to pray any long prayers now. Healer, I beseech thee, was what Moses said, did the job. Lord, supply, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all the needs represented here this morning. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, brother.